Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends. And Shabbat Shalom, that is Hebrew for Sabbath peace. And Chag Sameach, happy holidays, because tonight begins Shavuot, or Pentecost. You're going to be hearing a lot about that, because my guest today will be Rabbi Jim Appel. He'll be here live in the studio shortly, and it's going to be a very anointed and fun conversation. So relax, have a bagel, and let's listen to Jonathan Sattel. Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. 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 Od Avinu Chai, Od Avinu Chai. And again, that was the great voice of Jonathan Sattel. Well, I am so glad that you're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Did you know that this radio program is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael? We're a Messianic congregation where Jews and Gentiles can come together side by side and worship the Lord and recognize our Messiah, Yeshua. Yeshua is the Hebrew way to say Jesus. We have wonderful fellowship every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. We're located at 1326 North Winton Road, and I hope that you'll come out and join us for worship. While you're at Shema Yisrael, you're going to want to visit the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. Normally, it's open during the week, but it will not be open during the week until around June 23rd. So you can visit the Fig Tree Bookstore after services on Saturdays around 12 o'clock noon for now. While you're at the Fig Tree, you can get all kinds of CDs, prayer shawls, shofars, and books about how to share Messiah with your friends. And of course, they have great jewelry there as well. Now, if you really love Messianic music and you'd like to visit a congregation somewhere closer to Buffalo, have no fear. Visit Congregation Brith Hadashah. They're at 50 Alberta Drive in Amherst. And their services are every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. And right now, let's let Jonathan finish out the song. Shalom shalom Yerushalayim, shalom 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 Yerushalayim. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom, Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 shalom. Yeah, I wish you Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace. Don't you love how he says pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Remember, folks, that comes right out of Psalm 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. Or it might say, may they prosper who love you. But the important thing is pray for the peace of Jerusalem. All right, we're thinking about the spirit, the Ruach. Here's Zemer Lavav from the CD As Long As I Breathe, On the Wings of the Wind. Get your dancing shoes on.
I've been released at last.
This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings, the best messianic music around. You can hear it right here at Bagels and Blessings. Again, that was Zemer Levav, On the Wings of the Wind. Yes. May you be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the Holy Spirit today. May you too dance on the wings of the wind. You know, another word for wind is Ruach. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Spirit of God. This is Daniel Kopp and Sarah Lieberman from the CD Adonai.
Bo Ruach Elohim Umale Nafshi Adrech Otanu רק בך אנו חפצים, אנחנו מזמינים אותך לבוא. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come and fill us now. For you welcome in this place, show your mercy and your grace, come and fill us, Holy Spirit, come. God.
Yes, oh yes, we welcome you, Spirit of God. Fill this place, fill this radio station, and fill each of the homes. For everyone who is listening to the program today, Lord, overflow, overflow, hallelujah. Wow, I don't know about you, but I am feeling so empowered, and the best is yet to come, let me tell you. Right now, I want to thank Odell Chiropractic.
Your back is a delicate matter. Everyday things can affect it.
This is the last time I'm picking your toys up off the floor. Oh, oh, oh boy, it just went out.
Major injuries can leave you in bed for days.
Look out!
It's called vertebral subluxation. It's what happens when your back is thrown out of its correct alignment. It causes major pains and in time may damage internal functions. That's why the first time you visit Odell Family Chiropractic, they will determine if x-rays of your spine are needed to pinpoint the exact problem. If they find that they can help you, they'll develop a care plan to allow the spine to achieve the correct position and strengthen it so that it will want to stay strong. They'll prove it to you. During your care with them, they'll show you x-rays of the progression your spine is making while moving into its correct alignment. Visit today to receive a free preventative health evaluation. Call 671-9210. That's 671-9210. Say goodbye to back pain permanently.
Yes, and let's say hello to Marty Getz. Okay, look at Isaiah chapter 61. So beautiful. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Oh, and here's Marty to sing all about it. From the CD, He is My Defense.
God, for the Lord has anointed me.
yes, the Lord has anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor and to bind up the broken in heart, to proclaim his freedom to all who are bound, all who are bound. And I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall exult in my God, for he's clothed me with garments of his salvation. He's wrapped me with the robes of his righteousness. Yes, upon me is the Spirit of the Lord. Upon me is the Spirit of the Lord. He's anointed me with the Spirit of the Lord.
Wow, I don't know about you, but I am encouraged. That was Marty Goetz, the Spirit of the Lord. Whew, I hope you're feeling it. More to come. All right, I want to briefly thank one of my sponsors, Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. Hallelujah, we are finally using our air conditioners, and I am so very thankful to have wonderful central air in my home. Would you like to have central air? Well, call them. Call Excellent Air right now at 585-889-7840. They love the Lord. Their prices are fair, and they are a family-owned and operated business. I highly recommend them. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 889-7840. Now, would you like to take a little trip with me? Let's go up to the mountain with Paul Wilbur.
House of the Lord, running to his peaceful kingdom, shouting they lay down their swords. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Shake the earth so mightily, send your glory all
is washed away, till the blood of his attire.
Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I hope you had on your hiking boots, you know, going up that mountain. Whew! I have been to Haaretz, Yisrael. I have been to the land of Israel. I have seen the mountains, and it is spectacular. And, you know, if you haven't been to Israel, I encourage you to go. It is just amazing, amazing, wonderful. All right, so, you know, sometimes you want a little snack, you want to go to a bakery, you want to get like the best cupcakes or the best cannolis or whatever. They have so many delicious baked goodies here now at Europa Cafe. Give a listen.
Changes in the air. Things are different at Europa Cafe. There is no seating anymore. But instead, come on into the Europa Cafe for baked goods, pastries, delicious goodies to go. The Europa Cafe is open on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Saturdays from 10 to 6, and Wednesday, Thursdays, Fridays, 10 to 8, and Sunday, 11 to 4. And of course, the Europa Deli is next door, and they still have wonderful European delicacies, pierogies, and herring, and fish, and cold cuts. So there you have it, folks. It's at 1694 Penfield Road. The phone number there is 385-2040. Europa Cafe for your baked goods to go, and Europa Deli next door. Such a deal. Mm-mm good.
Yeah, you know what else is mm-mm good? The voice of Sue Samuel. Yes, Lord, fill me up. Fill us all up today with your spirit. Hallelujah.
And I hear your song. I feel your power, and I know your love. Fill me up, fill me up. My heart can't be filled enough.
People are always telling me that my hair is adorable. Where do you get your hair done? They always ask. I go to Jardé's Hair Salon. It's located at 2433 Lyle Road in Rochester. Their phone number is 585-429-6623. Enjoy a session that's all about you and a relaxing, rejuvenating environment at Jardé's Hair Salon. Their professional staff will always aim to please, and they will ensure that your experience is a memorable event. Be sure to give them a call today. That's Jardé's Hair Salon and Spa, 429-6623. They are your hair color specialists, and they provide facial waxing and men, women's, and children's hair cutting, hair coloring, highlighting, permanence, and nails. Jardé's Hair Salon. You'll be so glad you checked them out.
Shalom, Joel Chernoff here for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Did you know that God promised in Genesis 22:18 that through Israel, all of the nations would be blessed? A Venus flytrap that cures athlete's foot? Israeli scientists are working with carnivorous plants that could heal fungus infections and even save lives. The plant's digestive system releases an enzyme found to have better healing properties with less health risks than existing antifungal medications. Isn't it awesome that, like the Venus flytrap, the Creator can also use us in miraculous ways? This is Joel Chernoff for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Shalom.
Today, over 40% of Israelis live in poverty. We have an opportunity to return the blessing God has given us through Israel by becoming a part of God's prophesied restoration of Israel. To learn more, go to roiminute.com. That's roiminute.com.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Shema Yisrael is located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half mile south of Empire Boulevard.
Come on, baby, I need bagels.
Gimme bagels tonight.
All right, again, I have an easy question, and you won't have to go on the air just right now because we want to get to the interview with Rabbi Jim Appel. So the number here is 222-2990, 222-2990, and maybe sometime during the interview, if you call, we'll take a few minutes and let you talk. But we want to know, what is going on in Acts chapter 2? What happened? All you got to do is call 222-2990. Tell us, tell me, tell everyone, what happened during Acts chapter 2? Tell me all about it. 222-2990. But right now, I have a really interesting guest in the studio. And did you know that on May 22nd, we had this huge event where we celebrated his 70th birthday? But in fact, his birthday really wasn't May 22nd. It was June the 4th. So June the 4th, we celebrated his birthday. Yay! But then he tells me, you know, I was looking at the Hebrew calendar, and it turns out my birthday is really on Shavuot, which is when? Starting tonight?
No, it's today.
Today. So happy birthday again.
Again. Yay.
Oh, my gosh. Yom Hiletet Sameach, right?
Yes, thank you.
My goodness. So birthday boy or man, whatever, rabbi, birthday rabbi.
I'm going to stretch this birthday out as long as I can.
Well, man, milking it for all I can get, man. Somebody give that man a bagel. Well, welcome back to Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you. Good to be here.
All right. Well, you know, I'm already blessed. So, you know, we got Shavuot coming up. And for those of you that haven't heard his story before, we're not going to go into his long, interesting, amazing testimony, other than to say that it involved bee stinging and God really getting his attention. He did grow up in his parents were traditionally Jewish, but communists. So, but you're going to have to hear that whole story another time, because we are going to talk about Shavuot today, and maybe it's even giving away the contest. Who knows? But they still have to call. Tell me, why is this holiday important? What's the big deal?
Well, I think it's really very interesting, because this is one of those times when Christianity and Judaism kind of miss each other in most people's minds, and they actually are very, 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 very connected together. If you talk to most Christians, this day is Pentecost, which we're actually, because our calendars, the Jewish calendar and the Gregorian calendar, are not synchronized. Most churches celebrated Pentecost, you know, a few weeks ago. And now in the Jewish calendar, it's Shavuot. So if you talk to the people, you know, who are Christians, they'll say, well, this is the day the Holy Spirit was poured out. But then if you talk to Jewish people who celebrate Shavuot the same day, on the Jewish calendar at least, they'll say, well, this is the day that the children of Israel received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And neither group really are either ignorant or they don't understand the full meaning of the connection. I had an amazing experience several years ago. I was speaking to a group of pastors, and I told them it was just before Pentecost, and I started to talk about the fact that in Jewish tradition, we see Shavuot, which is Pentecost, as the day that the Torah was given, and you can show that from Exodus chapter 19 in the Bible. And they were looking at me like I was, you know, with gaping jaws. So I took a little survey. There's about 60 pastors there, and I said, "Well, how many of you knew that the Jewish Bible teachers had for millennium said that they figured out that Shavuot or Pentecost was the day that the Ten Commandments were given?" And like one out of 60 knew that. They just didn't even know it.
Really?
And it's very clear. If you look in chapter 19 of Exodus, it tells you what day the children of Israel came to the desert of Sinai, and then they spent 3 days there. And if you figure it out, because you know when they left Egypt was on Passover, and you figure it out, it's very clearly Shavuot. And then on the other side, Jewish people, you know, they understand that this is the day that the Torah was given, and it's, of course, it's in the Bible, it's a harvest festival. This is the day that the Torah was given, but they have absolutely no understanding of how Pentecost or the Shavuot in Jerusalem in the year of Yeshua's crucifixion and resurrection was a fulfillment of what happened on Mount Sinai. And the fulfillment, we heard some of that in the message of Pastor Reuben this morning, was that when the Ten Commandments were given, initially the people had said before the Ten Commandments, "Well, we'll do everything that God says." But afterwards, they drew back and said, "Moses, no, you talk to God. We don't want to talk to God. In other words, we don't want to be in God's presence. We don't want to be experiencing His Spirit in us." And so, as Pastor Reuben put it today, the covenant, the marriage covenant, wasn't completed. And then if you go fast forward for another 1,500 years to Jerusalem in the year that Yeshua was crucified and rose, you have him saying the promise of the Father is going to be poured out. And I had an interesting revelation today when he says the promise of the Father, you think it's like something the Father's going to send, his promise. But actually, if you think of the way it's said, it's the promise of having the Father. Right?
Oh.
So having the Father Spirit in you is actually how you could interpret what he's saying there. Wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father in you.
Yeah.
You know, so that's like the consummation of the marriage. And so Jewish people don't see that at all, of course, it's because they don't believe Yeshua is the Messiah, and they don't believe. And yet they mourn for that. Because as some of you have heard me talk about before, in Orthodox Judaism, there is a custom called Tikkun Le'il Shavuot, which means the evening of the restoration of Shavuot. And it is traditional amongst Orthodox Jewish people to stay up all night on the evening before Shavuot and to repent for our forefathers having pulled back and said, "We don't want to meet with God. We want you to do it, Moses," and to ask for God to pour out his Spirit upon them. And yet when it happened, the Jewish people who don't believe in the Messiah don't accept that it actually happened. Mm-hmm. So you see what I mean? It's like they're so connected, and yet the two groups are just like passing in the night, mm. like two ships passing in the night and not even knowing they're there.
The traditional Jews that recognize the holiday of Shavuot are simply celebrating the giving of the law, correct?
It's
or receiving of the law.
Receiving of the law, and that's an awesome thing because it's not like just the law, it's the whole Bible. I mean, those were the first written words of the Bible when God wrote the Ten Commandments. There's no record that, you know, Moses had written down anything before that. But God wrote it on the tablets, and those were the beginning of giving the Bible. So that's a huge gift to both Christians and Jews that God gave the word.
So Rabbi Jem, this brings up an interesting point. To those listening to the program that are skeptical that the Bible is true, they think it's a bunch of fairy tales. You're obviously talking about what's in the Bible. But what do you say to people that don't even accept the Bible as being the truth? They're not just stories.
Well, I like to take people who are skeptical about the truth of the Bible to some very specific places in the Bible. And those places are what we call the already fulfilled prophecies. And so there are places where there has been a prediction made, and we know what year it was made in. And then history tells us when it was fulfilled. And they're amazingly accurate predictions. And there's no way anybody can make these kind of predictions unless it was inspired by God. And just, you know, to give you an example, Moses himself predicted that after some period of time, the Jewish people would be dispersed from the land of Israel. And that when they were dispersed, they would be dispersed to all the nations of the world. Moses predicted this. And that while they were dispersed, the land would wither. The land would become desolate. And then at some point, Moses again, and you know, many people don't think of Moses as a predictive prophet. He was the lawgiver. They think of Isaiah and Jeremiah. But Moses predicted that God would gather us back from all the nations in the world and that the land would blossom again. And so how could anybody have predicted that 3,500 years ago? The scattering happened 2,000 years ago, and the regathering has been happening over the last 100 or 150 years. It's absolutely amazing. There's no other book in the world that can predict things like that.
Mm. This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings, and I have Rabbi Jem Appel in the studio right now. The number here is 222-2990 if you want to join in the conversation. Well, I'm with you. I believe that the Bible is true. It really is the Word of God. And I love it when you show us pictures that somebody has drawn of the pillar of fire and the cloud by day and when the people were going across the desert, and it just makes it all so very real. Mm-hmm. And so tell me more about how Pentecost and Shavuot intersect.
Well, I think that's one level of it, you know, of the fact that the law and the Spirit were given on the same day. The Bible and the Spirit were given on the same day. But what I like to think about that is, okay, so God, who is the God of time, arranged this, that the beginning of the Bible should happen on a certain Jewish holiday, or Moad, as we call them, of the appointed times of God, and then that the Holy Spirit should be poured out on the same Moad. But when he does things like that, we have to say, well, what's he trying to show us there? Is there some reason, you know, for this convergence here that they're both at the same time? And to me, it's just obvious, because the scriptures themselves tell us that you really can't understand the Bible without the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who reveals the truth in the Bible and makes it come alive to us. And at the same time, you can't follow the Spirit without being grounded in the Word. If you try to follow the Spirit without being grounded in the Word, you get off into excess and error, and many, many groups and people have done that. So what he's saying is very profound and very, very simple and very important. You need both. You need the Word and you need the Spirit. And it's just amazing to me that comes out of simply looking in Exodus 19 to see when the Word was given and realizing it was the same day as when the Spirit was given in Acts chapter 2.
Mm. Rabbi Jem, last week you gave this amazing talk explaining the difference between just receiving the Holy Spirit and actually being immersed and completely filled with it. I wondered if you might talk a little bit about that, because that was amazing.
Okay. Well, it comes out of what at first sight looks like the Bible contradicting itself. Because if you look in the 25th chapter of John, he's recording what happened on the day of Yeshua's resurrection. And it says that he appears to his disciples in the evening of that day, and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So it looks like the people received the Holy Spirit on the day of Yeshua's resurrection. But then if you read in the book of Acts, it says that like he was amongst them for 40 days, and on the 40th day he said, "Wait, in Jerusalem until you receive the power from on high. And then in the second chapter of Acts, the next chapter, we read about the Holy Spirit coming and falling among the people. So if you look at it, you say, well, there's something contradictory here. Either they received it on the day of the resurrection, or they received it 50 days later. Which is it? And that's kind of, I think I mentioned last week, that's the kind of either-or thinking that we get from Greek mindsets. But a Hebrew way of thinking is not always either-or, it's both-and. So you look at this situation, you say, well, could it be both things happening? And what I talked about last week was that the word that Yeshua used for what happened on the day of his resurrection, it was receive. Okay, but the word that's used in Acts 50 days later is never receive. It's be filled, overflow, be immersed in. And I love the way Pastor Reuben talked about it today. He could receive a text from his wife saying, I love you. But then when he comes into his wife's presence and she gives him a big hug and a kiss, that's really different from receiving a text.
You know? Amen to that. Yes, yes, indeed.
So there was definitely, the way I like to put this, and to me, this is really very theologically profound because, as I talked about last Shabbat, there has been tremendous division in the body over this issue. Because those who are what we would call non-charismatic believe that when you give your heart to the Lord, when you're born from above, you receive the Spirit, and you don't need a second experience. And those who are charismatic believe that, well, when you're born from above, that's important, that's wonderful, but then you have to wait and pray for the second experience when you're filled with the Spirit. And the answer that I can see is that they're both right. They both got it right. You guys don't need to argue with each other and stay away from each other. According to the way I see it, every time a person is born from above, they receive the Spirit. The Spirit comes and dwells in them and will not leave. It's there forever. It seals them and all those good things. But it doesn't overflow. It doesn't overflow like Yeshua talked about in John chapter 7 when he was at Shavuot. And he said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And then John says he was speaking of the Spirit. So you can have the Spirit within you, but that doesn't mean it's overflowing to the people around you and to the world around you. And that overflowing happens. When it happens, people are usually quite emotionally shaken by it. They're overwhelmed by it because it's a very powerful thing. And that reconciles the charismatics and the non-charismatics to say, oh, we're both right. You do receive the Spirit when you're born from above, but you're not necessarily overflowing with it. So now you should pray to be overflowing so it will overflow. And the way you can tell if it's overflowing is there will be manifestations. There will be prophecy, or there will be speaking in tongues, or there will be healing, or you will get a boldness and you'll be able to go out and speak and preach the word with that boldness. That doesn't happen when you just receive it. And finally, as God's ways are so amazing, there's one incident in the book of Acts where they both happened at the same time. And that can happen too. In Acts chapter 10, it says that Peter spoke to the Gentiles, and the Spirit came upon them, and manifestations started happening at the same time they believed. So it can be before, and it can be at the same time. But the filling is what we should all be seeking for over and over again, not just at once, but over and over again, because that's when the Spirit is poured out to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say, too, don't be afraid. You may not have grown up with this type of thinking, and maybe somebody might walk up to you and say, I really sense the Lord is saying to you thus and so. And they might even put their hand on your shoulder and start speaking into your life. They might even start to prophesy into your life. And that's not so unusual in our circles these days.
Yes.
It happens a lot. But if you're not used to it, you might be a little scared or freaked out by it. But I got to tell you, I've seen it. And sometimes the Lord even uses little old me, little old Ethel, to do that. And it's just amazing when it happens. And it's not me. It's not my glory. It's the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit. It's really exciting.
Nice. And, you know, just to carry that a little bit further, the real loss of having those two those two conflicting opinions. The first real loss is that there's no unity in the body, and there have been many splits, and there have many left foot of fellowship given to people because they begin manifesting the gifts of the Spirit, and others who because they deny the gifts of the Spirit. But one of the things that came out of that was a teaching amongst those who are the non-charismatics that none of the gifts of the Spirit are even around anymore. So they all went and disappeared with the death of the last apostle. And that's a wonderfully terrible thing to think, but there's no evidence in the Bible that that's what happened. It sounds like the apostles were passing it on. They prayed for people, and the people they prayed for got filled with the Spirit, started prophesying and speaking in tongues. So didn't those folks outlive the apostles? Probably. So what I'm saying is that the confusion and the contradiction has led to a lot of lack of power in the body. Many people who don't believe that you can prophesy or you can have the power to witness. On the other hand, I believe there's lots of people who have adhered to that, who have the power. Somebody like Billy Graham, the power to be a great witness, but doesn't necessarily believe that the gifts of the Spirit work and that you should have this influencing thing. So it's just been all this confusion.
And you know, the question that so many people ask is, does God still perform miracles today? And of course, we know the answer is yes, because
yes,
people are still being healed.
Yes.
But then the other side of the coin is, why isn't everyone healed? And Rabbi, I know that that's a hard one to answer.
Yes, it's a hard one to answer, and certainly God is not obligated to heal everyone. And people have a fixed time when their life is supposed to be over, and there are people who die at times. That certainly happens, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be praying for people to be healed and expecting to see it, because that was pretty much what Yeshua did. I mean, he spoke a bunch of things, but he if you read through the Gospels, he laid hands on the sick and prayed for deliverance for them, and they were healed. And then he said to us, go and do this. So we're supposed to be going and doing it.
Right. Very exciting.
Yes.
Now, what does 50 weeks have to do with Shavuot? Can you explain that?
Well, it's 50 days, I think.
50 days, okay. I knew it was 50-something. What kind of Jew am I?
Well, Leviticus chapter 23, where God gives the calendar of the appointed times, he speaks about Passover first, and then he says that on the day following the Shabbat of during the week of unleavened bread, you're to count 7 Shabbats. And then the day following the 7th Shabbat, you are to bring the first fruits offering of the grain of the wheat harvest at that time. The day following Shabbat, just around Passover, you're supposed to bring the first fruits of the first grain, which is barley. And then 7 weeks later, the wheat in Israel is ripe. So you bring the wheat to wave before the Lord and to give thanks for it for Shavuot. So it's interesting that Shavuot, it doesn't actually say, on the 6th day or the 7th day of the 4th month, this is what's supposed to happen. Instead, the way to figure it out is you start counting and you go to this day. So again, we come to the question, well, why did God say it that way? Why didn't, when he talks about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot, he gives the exact day. Passover, he says what day it's supposed to be. Why did he make us count to get to Shavuot? And as I look at it, I think he wanted the sense of anticipation to grow, just like when you're counting down to somebody's birthday or, some big event, the end of school, let's say, or something like that. You're counting that day, and you begin to get more and more excited about it and anticipating it. So that's the reason that I see that he gave it to us that way. So the Jewish people for a millennium have taken his word very literally, as we do about many other things. And when it says you're to count the days, we actually make an effort to every day say today is the first day, today is the second day, today is the third day, and so on, and count. And that anticipation builds up as we get near the 50th day.
And does it have something to do with Omar Sharif?
No, you're referring to the word that's used, which is the word omer.
I made it funny.
Yes, you did. And the omer is like a quart measure, and it was what they brought the barley grains in. So somehow that became to be, we're counting, it probably originally was we're counting up to the time of giving the omer, but it ended up being we're counting the omer. Right. Right.
Well, this is a very exciting time.
Yes, and it should be because we're anticipating. You know, that's why we're counting. And today is the 49th day, and tomorrow is the 50th day.
Celebration.
Yes, right.
So is this your favorite holiday?
It's one of my favorites. Yeah.
What else do you like?
All of them.
All of them. You know why? Because you know how we celebrate every Jewish holiday. They attacked us. We won. Let's eat. Great, great. This is wonderful. And, we have like a couple minutes left if anybody wants to call and tell us about Acts chapter 2. The number here is 222-2990. So tell me, Rabbi Jim, do you have any special prayer requests or even any special jokes? This rabbi, he has something funny to say at the beginning of every sermon, and I don't know where you get them all from.
I didn't bring my jokes.
Oh, you know them all by heart by now, don't you?
No, you know, I read them. I don't know them by heart.
All right, forget it. No funny, stuff for you.
How much time have we got?
Oh, we got about 3 minutes, 2 minutes, right, 2 minutes.
Let me just talk about one other aspect of this, and this is something that I've taught on before, but something happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out this way. There was something, the whole world changed, the whole universe changed. And people today talk about this as something like a paradigm shift. Things were in a certain way, and after this, things were in a different way. And the thing that we can see this most clearly in is that up to that point in time, the Jewish people followed the instruction in the Bible to stay ritually clean, and meaning they would not touch an unkosher animal that had been killed. Live unkosher animals were fine, but not an untouched one that was good. They would not touch a dead body, because if they did, they would not be allowed to go in and worship God in the temple without going through a week-long cleansing process that involved the priest and some sprinkling water on them. It was expensive, and they had to go through this long process. So the people very much tried to stay and keep away from touching anything that was unclean. And what's unclean is given in the Bible. But then Yeshua came on the scene, and he shocked people because he touched unclean people all the time, like lepers and prostitutes. And what was happening was that the reason they couldn't touch anything unclean was because if you touched something unclean, it got on you, and you became unclean. But like the way Yeshua dealt with it, he touched things and they became clean instead of him becoming unclean. And then he passed that on to his disciples and said, go into all the world and lay hands on the sick. Laying hands on the sick would make you unclean according to the way the law is written. So what happened? I believe it has very much to do with this filling and overflowing, that when the Holy Spirit is in you and overflowing, it's almost, to make a very physical analogy, it's as if the Spirit is flowing out of you so strong that the evil cannot get on you. So you can go into places where there's a lot of evil and lay your hands and pray and drive that out, rather without being afraid that you can't, you would become unclean and not be able to worship God. Because with the Spirit in you, you can worship God anywhere. You don't have to go in the temple.
Amen. That is amazing. You got to come on the air with me again. But for now,
I'm sure
we are. Oh, my goodness. You will. Yes, I prophesy. But right now, it's time for the Aaronic Benediction with Phil Klein.
Vikunecha Yes Adonai Panamalecha V'yasem lecha Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, the Sar Shalom, Yeshua the Messiah. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi Jim. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem. Peace be with you. And remember that every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Next week, you'll hear an interview with Rabbi Carol Kalis. Until then, you have a blessed week. And Chag Sameach. Happy holidays. Shalom.